for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Carrie Kasem is our guest tonight from Beg, Borrow, and Deal. Last year was first year, Drew, and this second year.
Got it.
This is this show on Tuesday nights on ESPN where, as best as I can tell, get a group of people together, and they got to go out and do crazy stunts that involve sports with major sports celebrities. And what do you win?
You win two tickets to four major events. If you want to go to the World Series, if you want to, go to the Final Four, whatever you want.
You get to pick it?
Yep.
And how'd you get involved with this?
My friend was friend of the executive producer, and she said you'd be great for the show because I am so competitive. And I thought, well, this is the ultimate game. I'll go in, see if they like me, and they did, so...
Do you compete in the thing too? Do you sort of run along with it, or?
Oh yeah, I mean,
you gotta do all the stunts.
Yeah, you have to do everything. You're dropped off in South Beach, and you have to hit Mount Rushmore, which is in South Dakota, and you have no money, you have no transportation, and no shelter. You have the clothes on your back, and you have your driver's license, and they do not give you anything. And you have to go make as best as you can make a beeline for.
So you're not hosting. You're a competitor,
right? Yeah, I usually host. Goodness. That's what I usually do.
And I would turn to prostitution almost immediately.
That'd get you across.
You can't handle money. You can't. If somebody wants to give you money, you can't touch it.
What?
They have to tuck it into my G-string. I can't actually hand it or put it down on the edge of the stage.
G-string, and then you can travel with it. It'd be great.
That's right. That's how I get it. I get my drugs into prison. Well, I was doing. What the hell was I doing? I was doing the Rome show, Rome is Burning, and I think one of your producers...
Neil Mant.
Good man. Yeah. I ran into him over there, and he said, Carrie Kasem, you got to get her on the show. So I said, so be it. And here she is.
Well,
and,
thank you.
Her father, of course, is a legendary radio personality. And he's more than a host. Casey right. Kasem, who's and not only a radio personality, but... tons of voiceover work, most notably Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And now, see, you may not know this, but he didn't create Scooby-Doo. Somebody else did, right?
He didn't create it. No, he's just Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
He was just hired to do the voice.
Right, he was hired to do the voice. But then he creates this voice for the show, and then when they make movies and stuff, they got to get a guy to do the voice that he created.
Right.
But he didn't really get a taste of that, right?
I mean, he does a lot of the movies. There were a couple instances where he didn't do the straight to video movies. There were a couple instances where he didn't do it, but he has done most of it. And in fact, he just did another.
No. I'm talking about the feature.
Oh, you mean with the live?
Right.
Since other people are mimicking his voice, does he own that sort
right.
of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't, and I don't know. Who would, but it's just like he created this character in a certain sense, even though he was a gun for hire when it, back in the late 60s. When the hell did that come around?
Yes.
Gosh, I don't know.
1970s.
It's the longest running cartoon in history.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, he speaks at colleges and he gets up and it's not the 33 years he's been counting down the hits that gets the standing ovation. It's...
Lines!
Yeah, that's it. It's I'm Shaggy and he does the voice and he gets this standing ovation.
Yeah. Oh, what a life.
Wow.
He's a multimillionaire because of all this stuff. Genius. And so, and for you, other than, hosting, doing these shows, what's the ultimate goal for you? What would you like to do?
I'm pitching a show now. I've been pitching, actually, a bunch of shows to sell my own show and to host it. Or, I don't care. I'll executive produce and get somebody else in there. But definitely to be an executive producer and get my own stuff on the air.
I'd say Casey Kasem is sort of the Dick Clark version of radio in a certain sense. Although Dick Clark's a version of radio, too, that son of a bitch got his thumb in every goddamn pie there is.
They both get mistaken for each other all the time.
Yeah, because they're both seem like the same guy to me, which is saccharine-y sweet guys who probably have the soul of a shark.
Yeah,
really.
That's my dad.
Your father you're talking about.
No, it's not a bad. He's a nice guy, but inside he's competitive. He wants to make a buck. He's not going to get ripped off. He's
my father is
to
no.
Make some money.
He's a very smart businessman, but he's so kind and generous. And I'm not saying
true.
I'm not biased because he's my father. He is.
When I say shark, I mean shark like a good attorney.
Right.
Good attorneys call the shark.
Like right. A whale shark.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Lifts off plankton. How does that work, Drew, that stuff that weighs like 270 tons eats stuff that's microscopic,
krill.
And
yeah.
then stuff that's the size of a cat lifts off stuff that's twice as big as it
yeah.
is?
How does that work?
What kind of plan
yeah,
was
what's
that?
What's the plan, exactly?
I don't know what that plan is, and I don't know how something gets that fat just eating stuff you can barely see.
Yeah.
We got to look into that.
Lots of it.
All right. Yeah, so you're saying volume.
That's right.
Okay, good. Are you ready to go?
I am.
All right. You know how the show works?
Yes, I've been listening to it forever.
Oh, well, good times.
Yeah.
Tamika?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, my ex-boyfriend, we just broke up about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dating for about 3 months. And while we were dating, every time he'd come to see me, he comes up here. He's, like, not lightly drunk or anything. He's, like, super drunk.
Where's my bourbon?
Mm-hmm.
And the question.
He is so drunk, he can't even stand up straight.
Ah, that's the question.
And, you know, since we broke up, he keeps on calling me. I mean, he is blowing up my caller ID, I'm telling you. And I don't know what to do about this because, you know, I tried to get his cousin.
Wait a minute, did you dumped him?
Yeah.
Can you change your phone number?
Well, no, I live with my mom.
No.
Can your mom change your phone number?
Well, I haven't asked her.
Well, Mom's going to get pissed off if Tamika asks to change her phone number.
Can you move out?
Well, yeah.
Why should you have to move out? Because she has a boyfriend.
Just curious.
Calling.
She's 18. It's time to be. It's
well,
about time.
Yeah, what is the plan, Tamika? I smell junior college, by the way.
Oh, no. No, no.
No, I'm in my senior year of high school.
But soon you'll be heading for junior college, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. I smell pre-junior college on Tamika.
Junior college.
All right. So you're going to be at home for another 16 years, maybe 20.
No.
Okay. So now you said you tried calling the guy's cousin?
Yeah, because me and his cousin were real good friends.
Yeah.
And I told him, you know, I'm like, hey, could you get your cousin to bug off, you know, because I really don't want anything to do with him anymore.
How long has this been going on? He's been bugging you?
Ever since we broke up.
How long has that
been? About 2 weeks.
2 weeks. All right. For 2 weeks, the guy can go out of his mind and call you and badger you. You've been very clear with him. You're getting sort of a structure in place. If you should record the things he does, write it down, document. If you have to get a restraining order, do. The simplest thing to do, obviously, would be to change your number. But the fact that you're as clear as you are, he will lose steam with this, and he'll kind of...
You just got to give him... If you can give him a steady diet of...
Nothing. Yeah.
For a few weeks, he'll go away.
About 6 weeks.
But if you throw him a Triscuit every 10 days or
and
so...
And a Triscuit could be, hey, you get out of here. That's
Triscuit could be anything.
Yeah.
But it really is. It's like if no one fed you anything for a week or two, you would die. If someone threw you a handful... full of saltines every 4 or 5 days, you'd make it for 10 years.
And you'd come back to the person who's throwing the saltines.
I wonder if she's straightforward, though, with him and said, look, you know,
I get the sense she is, just the way she was talking to the cousin and stuff. It sounds like she's doing the right stuff. It's only been 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. Guys do this. You've had guys do this, right?
Yes.
They get a little nutty.
I have.
How long does it take?
Yeah.
Month.
Some guys, you know, it lingers 6-7 months.
Ooh.
Yeah, it goes from calling, you know, for a month.
You dated Adam one time?
We go back.
Yeah. Come
we
on.
We go back.
I was trying to break in the radio, Drew. I was doing what I could.
Oh, my God. Did he sit out and weep on your doorstep when he told me?
My dad really likes Adam.
Yeah.
He's really upset he broke my heart.
Yeah. We were initially attracted to each other by the bushy brows. Not Carrie and I. I'm talking about...
Well, he looked like my dad. I'm like, you know, I have
get
a father
it. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. Sound just alike, too.
Jenna? Yeah, it was velvety smooth.
Yeah.
Jenna, you're 17. What's up?
I have a odd interest in, like, an odd porno interest.
Mm-hmm.
I get aroused by odd things.
What would be odd?
Bestiality. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation.
Yeah, we get bogus.
We get bogus.
What makes you lie?
Yeah, Jenna,
sorry.
Sorry,
baby.
Fine.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever.
No,
you
it's
suck.
It's not bogus, though. It's not bogus.
Oh, yeah. BS is not bogus. You're full of crap.
Oh, I swear to God.
You're not interested at all in your question, then.
All right. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. See right through you like a glad bag.
Ask her where she gets them.
Ask her where she gets what?
The videos. Speciality. They're tough to get.
All right. Jenna. Now we got rid of her. Anderson wants some bestiality videos. You don't have enough of those already? I know you wear them out. All right. Thank you. I'm not into those bestiality videos. I'm not into the bizarre and
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Macabre. What do you mean you didn't know there was such a thing?
No, I mean, I didn't realize there were, like, videos.
Oh, no, there are.
Yeah.
There definitely are.
Carrie knows.
Fill me in.
She's got some in her car.
You see things. I mean, I was years and years and years ago, actually, right out of high school. A friend of mine had a whole collection of different kind of porn.
Mental note, keep that cyanide pill handy.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
wait a minute. This is a fella friend of yours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, girls don't know.
Right.
And it's like horses and dogs.
Right.
Like that?
That's exactly what it was.
Doing things to women.
No. Huh? The women were doing things to them.
That's your father's bestiality. There's a new breed of bestiality.
What happens
now?
To the new one?
Stuff doing, the horse is doing something to the chick.
Oh, I'm sure that's around, but I didn't see that.
How do they pull that off, as it were?
You know, let me tell you something about the porn industry. They're a little short on brains. They're a little high on coke. But they're survivors.
Yeah,
they're scrappy. They're like MacGyver, except for with a prosthetic penis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And they make stuff happen.
They just figure it out.
Yeah. These are the guys you want on your side when the plane goes down and you're trapped out on a deserted island.
The porn stars?
They're the
producers. Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
The producers.
They're the same people, really, most of the time. They just run behind the camera and then run back out again.
Is this how Catherine the Great went down?
Yeah, that's how they say. That's a nice legacy for the Great family.
the greats, to you.
The Greats, yes. It was the Great Bergs, but they changed it when they came out here. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I've been seeing this girl for about a week and a half, and she kind of started talking about sex, and I had to tell her that I have genital warts. Mm-hmm. And since then, she hasn't called me, hadn't talked to me. I talked to her once since then.
So she's freaked out.
I really, really like this girl, though, and I heard Adam's philosophy, give her a week.
Yeah.
And I want to know what to say in a week.
When did you give that philosophy?
Well, maybe I was saying the other night not to call for a week if you think somebody is not reciprocating your love and see what happens.
This is a little different
But
situation.
Basically it was if they don't call you in a week, then it's done.
Cool.
But you got to keep being honest with the women. I mean, you're going to find somebody that thanks you for being so honest with them.
Right. Well, see, that's the way I got it. She didn't tell me, and I don't.
Right.
There's
a good probability that this girl that's all freaked out, if she's sexually active, has warts. It doesn't know it.
No.
Yes. There's a good probability.
No.
Yes.
That just
so
means you have
warts.
True.
It's
that's
so,
all that
again, Carrie, here we go.
Listen, but it's neither here nor there. Now Carrie has warts. So both of you have warts. Don't block the door. I'm going to try to get out of here.
That means you have warts too, Adam.
Drew's tried pulling this wart scam on me. But
I had to examine his penis.
Yes.
The tape?
Acetic acid he dumped on it and shined a black light.
Purple blue.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I just dumped acid all over my penis.
Yep.
That's right. I guess you dumped it yourself. But I looked with that big light. With
Let me tell you about my penis acid
suspicious.
Policy.
Suspicious. Yeah, there was some suspicious pre-wart.
I do the acid dumping on my penis. It's an old Corolla family policy. Just like the greats do their horse humping, I do my acid dumping.
I don't know which is worse, bestiality or dumping acid on your genitals.
Well,
it's vinegar. 0.25% acetic acid.
Whatever. It takes a great man to dump acid on his own penis.
Well, in front of a giant...
That put that in bank, borrow, and deal, by the way.
It's not any fun.
Okay, well, here's the point. It's moot what Drew says, because if she doesn't know she has warts, then it doesn't matter. She can still be freaked out by your warts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so quiet over there, Drew. So she may have been freaked out. Now, look on the bright side. She probably wasn't that into you anyway, because
right.
if she was really into you, she probably would have worked with you a little on the wart thing.
Absolutely.
That's true. Right. Well, see, what kills me is she said it's cool. You know, she said, no big deal. It happens. We can work through it. And then...
Yeah.
That was to your face.
Yeah, that's to... that. Yeah, right to my eyes.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah.
Now you know the kind
of person... Don't
believe that one. Yeah, you know the kind of person you're dealing with now, too,
I'm
right?
I'm kind of hating them all right now.
Well, listen. You guys, you say you hadn't had sex with her.
Right.
And you've just been going out for a short period of time?
Yeah, about a week and a half, but I really liked her. She, I don't know, it was one of those girls. You get out of the shower and you look at yourself and you say, don't mess this up, you know?
Yeah. You got out of the shower with her?
No, you look at yourself. I got out of the shower getting ready to see her.
You look at yourself, yeah, a little pose down before the
day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get the blood
circulating.
All right, well, Mike, you didn't mess it up. You did what you should do.
You told the truth.
And here's the deal in life, everybody. Everyone wants you to do what's right all the time. Doing what's right gets you burned. You don't get what you want out of it about three-quarters
all
of
the time. Yeah.
Right.
Not even half the time. Mm. I mean, when you go up to the school teacher and say, I cheated on the test, I got to be honest with you, you know, they give you a fail most of the time. I don't know what kind of idiot does that. But what I'm saying is when you're straightforward with people, it's not like a Brady episode where they end up going, you see, now you're going to be repaid for your honesty. No, you get what people would do, which is oftentimes punished or dumped or whatever, but it doesn't mean you got to stop doing it. He did what was right.
Right.
All right, now he can just beat himself into oblivion. Ron?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah, hey, what's happening, guys?
What's up?
I was dating this girl from the time that I was 17 to 19, and everything was fine. You know, it was just a young, decent relationship. And I started drinking about halfway through it when I was about 18. You know, not heavily, just we'd go to a party and, you know, have a couple of drinks, something like that. We broke up about a year later, about 2 years into it, a little bit shy, 2 years. And I started drinking more heavily. And I mean, I'm an alcoholic. I don't know any other way to put it, but just got more into drinking and more into drinking, and, you know, I was meeting girls while I was drinking and stuff like that, and it was cool. I live in a kind of big party college town, so it was really no problem.
Today, Junior? True. I got to make a liquor store run. I got to get a shot in me to deal with this call.
Yeah, but anyway, I've been sober for about six months now, and I've really been having problems, like, getting back in the dating scene. And
What's the problem?
It's almost like I feel like I just don't know how to do it now. Like, I've always, I don't know, most of the time I've met girls, it's been in a bar, at a party, or something like that.
Like, alcohol makes it easier to go up and talk to somebody.
Yeah, it just kind of lowered my inhibitions, you know?
Well, how about some lewds or something? Something to loosen you up a little?
Yeah, all right.
How about meeting some sober chicks?
In the program?
Yeah.
No.
That's what they all do.
No,
just one big hump fest over there. They all get together in some church, ironically.
Ron, here's
and
the deal.
Each other.
You, when you're loaded and you're going to bars, you attract and you go after a certain kind of person. And you're probably going to attract a different kind of person, a different kind of woman now, and it's something that's probably more satisfying, might be more scary, might take more time. But you're going to have to rely on things like your friends and networks out there, anywhere in your workplace, perhaps know people, go to places other than parties where you can meet people, and make a concerted, systematic effort to get out there and meet lots of different people. And quite by magic, what most people in recovery find is that magically some real quality people start entering your life. And that will surprise you, and you'll think you'll have to do all kinds of things that you used to do, but you don't. You just have to stay with your program, make an effort to go out there and meet people, and things kind of take care of themselves.
And it's not easy for anybody to go up and ask somebody out, you know, whether you're recovering or not. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? So it's going to always kind of be uncomfortable.
Okay.
Just be patient.
Be patient.
No, just be patient and know that there will be a payoff.
Let me say this about booze, by the way, because I got my booze on today. I gotta be honest with everybody. I went to bed about, well, I was in, where was I? I was in Chicago last night. I went to bed about 4:30, and then we got up about 6:45, 7 o'clock. I don't know.
And so you got to O'Hare and just started hammering.
A couple of Bloody Marys, you know, loosen me up for the plane ride. You know, help me relax. Take the edge off.
Wow.
But now here's the thing I can't figure out. I go from airport to airport to airport, and I pull into the bar. And I swear I was in Detroit a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was somewhere else. But, you know, you sit down. It's like 11:15. You're like, give me a Bloody Mary. And like, we don't start serving till noon. So now I'm at O'Hare today. It's 7:45 or something in the morning. I'm like, can I have a Bloody Mary? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, coming right up. Yeah. And I just realized
different states.
Every place is different.
Every state.
I know it's not the airport, it's the state that the airport is in. Yeah. But this is all over the place all the time.
Go to Utah.
Some places cut you off early, other places open early. I'm all over the goddamn map. Here's all I'm saying. We can't just agree on a time so I can get loaded and go through my life. Like, it's got to be noon somewhere else and 7 a.m. here, and we got to cut you off at 2 a.m. over here and 5 a.m. over there. Can't we just like the age of consent? Here's what I want to do. I want to make the age of consent 18.
Right.
It's not 14 in Kentucky and 18 in California and 13 in Hawaii. Just, boom, 18. Let's make the booze. Let's figure out the booze. Like, 3 a.m. cutoff. 9 o'clock, fire it back up again. Or whatever we agree on, and that's it. So I'll know where I can drink, who I can hump. I get all worked out when I travel. Because you're all over the goddamn place.
It must be scary now.
Is that a Crown Royal bag wrapped around your microphone stand?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just,
appropriate.
Got some miles on it.
It's appropriate.
Carrie Kasem is here from Beg, Borrow, and Deal 2, which is on ESPN, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. We're going to take ourselves just a wee bit of a break here, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carrie Kasem's our guest tonight. She is from Beg, Borrow, and Deal 2, which is on Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern. So it's 5 o'clock out here. But they'll rerun it at different times,
right,
won't they?
Mm-hmm. ESPN2 runs it all the time, and I think it actually runs on ESPN Tuesday at 5 and then again at 11.
They've been running a lot of, I've seen quite a few promos for the show, too. They seem to be much more behind it this year than they were last season.
I didn't see any of last season.
Well, see, that's my point. All right, tomorrow night, Brooke Burns is going to be in here from Dog Eat Dog. She's at Foxy Blonde, who's like always bungee jumping in a bikini. I can't figure out. That whole show just looks like a Mexican game show to me. Like, I can't figure it out.
No Bumblebee.
Just a bunch of good-looking people jumping in a tank. I don't know what the hell that show is, but evidently it does well, and she is certainly part of the reason the show does well, maybe
she's
all the
gorgeous.
Reason. Yeah, she's gorgeous, and she seems nice.
Yeah.
We'll see about that tomorrow. And then Brooke Burke is going to be in here tomorrow night, not to be confused with Brooke Burns. And she used to do Wild On, and now she's doing all these bikini things, and I think she's got a new show coming out or something, right?
She has one on E.
Oh,
she
E.
interviews.
Oh, she's, yeah.
They or go, like she talks about the countdowns. So.
Right. They go from sort of running around in a bathing suit all over the place, and that gets a little old for a while, after a while. And then they move behind the interview desk and start doing that stuff. So she's going to be in on Wednesday night. And let's go back to the phones and speak to Dante, who's 25. Dante?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So are we.
All right. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. I'm 25, and I love my wife. However, I like prostitutes.
Mm-hmm. All right. How often do you see these prostitutes?
2-3 times.
In your life, or a week?
Week.
A week.
Hmm.
All right.
That's frequent. How much do they cost?
Cute. I don't know why. I was wondering maybe I
want to know how much they cost.
I don't think that's relevant.
Drew, tell the caller where my finger is.
It's over the whole button. I'll talk to you in a second, Dad. Just answer Adam's question.
No. Listen, here's what's relevant on this show. Whatever I decide is relevant. That's how you know it's relevant. If I ask it, it's relevant.
Yeah.
It's relevant to me. Who cares what you think is relevant?
That was so interesting. I wanted to see where that one went.
It's a real common thing, guys, when they're sexually addicted. I think you'd find if you talked to Dante, there'd been a history of sexual abuse or physical abuse in his past. And
well,
I don't know that
he's married so young.
Yeah, married young. But I've got a bunch of these patients, and they...
Really?
Yeah, they can't stop. They have to be treated.
Why are you seeing them? Because they're addicted to drugs, but
they're addicted
to everything?
Right. I see them when the chemical addictions kick in.
All right. Well,
is it common?
We'll give Dante one more shot. Drew, tell Dante where my finger is.
Mm-mm. All right, Dante.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay, so does he have to answer the question?
Yes, yes.
You have to answer the question, how much?
How much?
How much?
40.
$40.
Okay. 40 per.
Correct.
And you go all the way with these girls for $40?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems a little pricey to me, too.
Pricey.
I think Carrie's thinking more 25. Or
I'm like, add another zero.
At least three. Wow, come on. You're a K-sum. You get way more than 40.
Right, always.
Yeah.
You should know.
Oh.
Usually.
What's the prescribed treatment?
Well, are you addicted to anything else?
No, I'm not.
You have no history of any addictions, any other chemicals?
No, nothing. I've never done drugs.
And were you physically abused growing up?
To an extent, yes.
Okay, so you fit that profile. Were you sexually abused also?
Yes.
All right, so that's where that all comes from, right? And if this may just be sexual compulsion and not addiction, and that's actually somewhat easier to treat, you have basically two choices. You can go to SA, a 12-step program that's specifically designed for people like you.
Can he do this without cluing his wife in?
That's sort of an ethical question. I mean, he's kind of
exposing. I'll answer it then. Yes, you can do it without cluing your wife in.
It's sort of exposing her to potential illnesses and things, too. But can you
go to SA without cluing your wife
Absolutely. You can do whatever. Yeah, of course. Or
I'm not just saying it's part of the therapy, coming clean and telling your wife.
Eventually he'll need to be more honest with her, I'm sure. But be that as it may, the other alternative is to get a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist who has experience in dealing with these sorts of trauma issues. And getting some intensive work done.
You know, the shrink, although it doesn't really doesn't sound good, but the shrink's about the same price as your hookers. Maybe Arizona shrinks probably run a little cheaper.
Yeah.
Jesus, three hookers or one fat Jewish guy in Encino?
Well, that's the kind of thing.
What are you going to do?
That's what we tell our patients when they balk at the price of treatment, saying, hey, you just spent that every week on your cocaine, for God's sake.
I know, but that was a good time. That was a man telling me what to do.
Well, it's not certainly not the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance is to continue in your compulsion. But if you really value your marriage and you don't like the path you're going down, most people don't when they get into these sorts of compulsions, there's a treatment. But it takes time and it takes commitment.
I'm going SA. Do you have any kids?
No.
All right, that's a good thing. Go to SA.
Don't tell your wife.
If you need an SA referral, just call AA locally where you are. And
okay.
They'll give you a referral to SA.
All right, good luck.
All right, good luck.
You know, Carrie thought $40 was a little cheap for the hookers, but this is why I love that HBO show. I think it's called Hookers on the Brink or something. Those guys, like a girl comes up to the car and says, sugar, you need a date? And he's like, yeah, how much? And she's like, $20. And the guy's like, baby, you got to do me better than that. And I'm thinking, $20.
But it's not $20 for all the way.
Guy picks you up in the town car and drops you off down the street. You're flipping $20. Yeah, it's $20.
No, I watch these shows, too. It's not for all the way. I mean, unless there's these cracked-out whores. I mean,
yeah.
But I know a couple of them, it's like $20 for something else.
Well, it's $20 for a BJ.
Yeah.
But it's usually you can pick. You can go one or the other. I mean, that's what Drew tells me. You can go sex or you can go. But you
not
can't,
for 20. I cannot believe it's for $20.
I'm telling you. But yes, it is. It's like a rental car that's a rent-a-wreck. You know what I mean? It's not a real nice
that's
car.
Horrible.
You get them cheap.
Yeah,
it's
right,
the same
right.
price either way.
I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no.
Wrong.
How dare you? How dare you barge in my studio and attack me this way? Prostitution, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know I'm not. It's you pick a modem. I mean, you want
orifice.
Oral or do you want intercourse?
Price the same.
Yes. Always seems to be the same. Well, it's that way in Mexico. I don't know.
What does that mean? That's interesting. All right.
Well,
what does that say about the
human
being?
Well, here's the thing. They want to get you off.
Yeah,
you know, because they want to get you off and get you out of there.
Right, right.
And so they want you to pick your easiest method,
okay.
And whatever your thing is, they're
just
going to give it to you. They'll put the condom on and knock it off in the car.
Right.
But the thing I love about that show is the guy's sitting there in his tan Granada, which is parked out on whatever street, and they just blur out the license plate, but you can still clearly hear the guy's voice and stuff. I mean, if the guy's wife has cable,
yeah, he's
just
dead.
Sitting home hearing
he's
the guy
dead.
In his rap. Isn't our Granada? Our Granada has a torn town out cover on top there, doesn't it? Fake roof. Yeah, that's you, isn't it, Herb? Sean?
Herb.
Does Herb see hookers? Sean, you're 16.
Yeah, I had a question. First of all, I just want to say, Adam and Drew, you guys, the show is great.
Thanks,
Sean.
I shave my pubic area,
mm-hmm.
and I get, like, a rash every time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lasts for, like, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, if you had any tips of, like, if I should use an electric razor.
All right. We have a lady. Yeah,
I know exactly what you do for that. You use a product called Tend Skin. It's T-E-N-D,
That's
skin.
The stuff you were talking about, right?
It works. Let me tell you, you just use it every day, and it kind of gets, your skin gets a little flaky, but it really just, it takes
use
away
it
the bumps.
After you shave?
Some people do. If it burns, don't use it a few hours after. But if it doesn't, just go ahead and put it on. It will take care of that. It's called Tend Skin. It's in a blue bottle.
Okay, yeah. All right, cool.
It's like $80 a drop. It really is like $35 for a little container of it. It works.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You use it on your neck, right?
I have. I'll tell you what works better or the same is...
benzoyl peroxide.
No, is OxyTen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You rub that on there, knock the rash down, too. You just do it right after you shave. It stings a little bit, but it seems to knock down whatever it is that comes up. But it's the same thing. It just dries it all out.
Right,
okay.
Slather it on a little before you go to bed. Now, don't use it to beat off, Sean.
Okay.
I know you. Yeah. Any lotion gets near your chunk.
Yeah, I just started using hand lotion there.
Yeah, why? You got to shave.
You're like, oh.
I think it's nice that you shave. I think it's horrible that we women have to go through so much preening, and men don't. Yeah. And I think it's nice when you find somebody that takes care of themselves. You know,
yeah,
I
but
do.
But he looks like some Chippendales fag. I mean, you got to groom yourself. You can't shave
yourself.
Oh, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not done with you and your pubes.
All right.
Why do you shave? You should be shaving. You should be trimming.
Well, I just like it. I just like the feeling. It's like clean. You just.
Complete? You're shaving everything off?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting a razor out. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, that's a little
that's
much.
That's a little spooky.
That's a little much.
For a chick.
I don't mind it, but it is a little much. It's better if you trim the hedges, definitely.
All right.
Yeah,
I think for you know when I see that it's a little severe, but if you trim the hedges that's nice as well.
Yeah, well here's the idea with all this stuff.
Oh, great conversation!
I think.
I love this.
Oh, hold on, Sean. Here's what I think I'm speaking for most Americans here, not all, because some people like it shaved on a woman, some people like it shaved on a man, and all that. But generally, what we would like to see is a very clean rendering of a woman or a man's private parts. It looks like somebody drew it in nicely. And that it was, you couldn't tell it was shaved, but it was.
Right.
Obviously, it would have to be.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what we look for. It's like, we don't want to know someone had a nose job.
Yeah.
We want to see a nice nose.
You don't want a scraggly beard on your face either. Right? You want things just taken care of.
Yeah, but when you see that, you kind of understand that the guy did it. I'm saying if you do a good job on your parts, especially as a male, because we have a little more leeway, you can do a nice job on your parts. No one has to know that you've been trimming or plucking or scraping or doing whatever. But if you shave it clean.
Yes, it's a little severe.
Yeah, all right.
But,
Sean?
But Carrie likes it anyway.
I know.
we heard that. That's
Sean?
Yeah.
You had another question?
Yeah, I was just curious.
Wait, hold on. Excuse me a second.
Sean,
we have to mark this moment. Adam never goes back for the follow-up questions that the callers have. But
I know.
Something about you, Sean.
I got a good feeling about this kid.
You've registered into his imagination in some way. Go ahead.
Well, Adam is my guy, though. You know, that's why.
There you go.
You see, he knew that. He knew that.
But at the baseball game last night, or the the celebrity softball game.
Yeah.
Did you wear the Brewers jersey because you like beer or what?
Oh, they just asked me what jersey I wanted, and I decided to pick something something weird. Yeah, I didn't really have any attachment to that.
Yeah, that was nice catch you had, too.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, I'll see you later.
Yeah, robbed a home run. Drew, you would have seen it if you'd watched it tonight.
Yeah.
It was a big catch out in left field. 45,000 people at the game, by the way. It's on the newspaper today.
Wow.
Holy Christ,
they're
desperate for entertainment out there in Chicago. 45,000 people. But
Wrigley Field?
No, it was at Comiskey.
Okay.
But nice new field. Here's the thing about baseball. Too many guys, too many adult males. I don't know if you can identify with this, Drew. I don't think you can, and that's probably a good thing. But there's way too many guys. They're in, like, their 30s and 40s. They have no qualms telling you that they worship the ground that Carl Yastrzemski stands on, or Fred Lynn, or they wear his jersey around, or they carry, like, mitts, and they want people signed. They collect baseball cards, and they have things signed all the time. And they wear this. It's like a badge of honor. Like, guys in their 40s crapping themselves because they met Fred Lynn, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it's a big deal for these guys, adult males. And to
I think it's weird. No. I bet that's not like, it's not like a Star Trek experience, you know, where they're going to conventions and things. I bet when he was 9 years old, he loved Fred Lynn.
That's what happened.
This is a chance to meet him, and on that night, he turns back into a 9-year-old.
But their whole lives they've been worshiping these guys.
Nah, it's probably been underground for a while, and it just came up because he had an opportunity to meet him, and it's there. It is, boom, he's back.
Well, look, if you're a fan of anybody's when you're 10 years old and you get to meet him one day, it's an exciting thing.
Yeah.
Like many of you 9-year olds listening to the show right now are going to get to meet me one day when I'm 75. It's going to be a big thrill for you. I'll sign your jersey, but I'm just saying. There's way more of these guys out there than you would ever imagine. Yeah. They're all knee-deep in this fairy tale baseball, where they all just sit around and play this virtual baseball, trading dead players back and forth, talking stats all the time. I mean, Drew, your head would spin if you knew how many sort of normal guys were into this. They're married, they have kids, you know, they have jobs, and they're crazy with this stuff
dead
on the side.
Cards, you mean?
They have these rotisserie baseball leagues where you're picking guys that are, you know, you got Satchel Paige on your team.
Wow.
And
fantasy
stuff, you know.
Leagues, like football fantasy.
Right.
Yeah, it's gone into the realm of the deceased players now. They're arguing and drafting guys. You know, you're drafting teams for yourself that you don't really actually have. It's like a grown-up version of, like, playing Army Man or something.
Yeah,
Stratego
yeah.
for a retarded adult.
Okay.
Game of softball is a good time. You can't do a better thing on a Sunday, but give all the weird hero worship stuff a rest. It's kind of bizarre. True, you don't have any of that.
No, I'm just thinking about my kids. I can't get my boys interested in something else.
Yeah, get them going.
Yeah.
They're going to be weird. They're going to be like all these guys I saw this weekend.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I'm going to take a break. Kerry Kasem here, everybody. Big borrowing deal. Who's your you have anybody you're like that with?
With
love with Steve Garvey or something.
Not
like
even sports,
that.
No, in anything.
No, definitely there's a couple UFC guys. I'm really into the UFC.
So you like the tank?
Tank Abbott. That's the one I want to meet. No. More like Tito Ortiz or Vitor Belfort.
As long as they shave their genitalia, though.
Right, they shave their junk.
I wouldn't mind meeting them.
All right. We'll be back. Yeah. Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
If you play this backwards, does it say something?
This is backwards.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy. I figured it out.
Kerry Kasem's our guest tonight,
somebody sent him.
I guess somebody sent Engineer Anderson, I don't know what he got. He got you from Crank Yankers?
It sounds like it. Dr. Drew in the hizzy. But why ain't you got no play, playa?
Now, wait, should we set this up?
If you want.
We did, I had an idea for Drew to do a Crank Yankers episode this year.
Best show on the air.
God bless you.
Wow, okay.
It is. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Big borrowing deal, too, everybody. Tuesday nights, 5 o'clock on the West Coast, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Second best show on the air.
I'm not sure I got that. What was that again?
Big borrowing deal, everybody. So we decided we'll be fun to do some calls this year with Dr. Drew. So we took Drew out to Vegas, and we did some calls, and I had this idea about, well, what was the setup, Drew?
I think you said, I'm just going to talk rap, speak.
All right, Drew, shut up.
Right?
No. Yeah, that's the setup. Drew's going to talk rap. That's the setup call?
I'm telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house, in your hizzy.
Do you want me to do the setup?
You better set up. I'm right. Embarrassed to hear this.
I said, we're trying to get the MTV show back on its feet.
Is what you're telling the caller that we cranked on.
Yeah. This is the setup, yes. And they're looking, they want the show to go a little more urban and a little street. When I have Drew to have a little street cred, a little edge. So I'm trying to put together a demo tape so we can prove to the MTV executives that Drew can be a little more urban and a little more hip-hop. So this is what. So we called people that called this show and decided to tape a call with them. You got any more of that Anderson?
I'm telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house, in your hizzy, for chizzy.
No, yeah. I'm queuing up the whole thing. Let me just play the
No.
Oh, yeah, let's
no, not the whole
yeah, let's do the whole thing.
I'm going to leave. I'm
going
to walk out.
Right, please, keep going.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
It's Bo, funny. This is Adam Carolla. Yeah.
Hi.
You know the show Loveline, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, good. Are you in a room that's quiet where we can talk a little bit?
Well, I'm going to wear a jack off.
Yeah, go
where
you
jack off.
Yeah, go where you jack off.
It says he's going to go to the room where you jack off.
All right.
Okay.
You there?
We're in the barn. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bo, what we're doing here is we're putting together a tape for MTV because we're trying to get the show back on the air.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
And we're going to have Drew kind of hip it up a little, be a little more urban, okay?
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
Hell yeah.
All right, so let's just take it like a regular Loveline call, and we'll just start at the beginning.
Drew's too humiliated.
18, you're on Loveline. What's your problem?
Well, the problem is I have no sex life.
But why ain't you got no play, player?
I don't know.
So you ain't hitting the skins.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. You undoubtedly are looking to get the throb and guzzle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel ya.
In the meantime, you're sitting in the hizzy by yourself, thinking about a little Palooza action. In the meantime, your dong ain't doing shit. We heard when the call picked up. You got all those shorties running around there. You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk. You feeling me? Church, you feeling me?
Yeah.
If you had a hizzy, you'd be out of the house. I'm telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have no problem to get that freaky shit going. 24/7 flowing semen here in your house. In your hizzy. For chizzy.
Go with the flow. Don't talk like it. Talk the way you want to.
So I don't have to use all that freak who tore up the ass, areola palooza, muffio tang, throbbing guzzle crap in the ass. Shit, right?
Them, be yourself. Who gives a shit they want?
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you, don't be a player hater, because when you tap her in the ass, you ain't going to be interested in pistol rubbing no more, and the digit is dizzle, and in the hizzy for chizzy going to be great on the QT for real.
Stay fresh, nigga.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Peace out.
Peace out. Yeah. All right, Drew, you're done, buddy. Drew's too embarrassed. He had to leave.
He actually went out.
Peace out. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was so funny.
That could Drew, everybody.
So that was sent in by a girl named Silent Virgin, who also, she's a huge fan, has a whole website for Loveline, and she sent that in.
God bless the Silent Virgin.
Does
for
the
doing
puppet
that.
Actually look like you? Like,
the puppet is so funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
When's this air?
It aired.
I think it aired. Yeah. It'll probably re-air, though. They just keep running them. Yeah.
My favorite part is the setup when the guy who's we're calling is in the kitchen with his mom with a baby, and he goes, I'm gonna go ride jack off, and he goes behind the refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, that's called artistic license, Drew.
Oh, my God. The puppet goes behind the refrigerator.
Good times.
Such a good show.
Oh, my God.
Jamie?
Yeah.
Oh, you're 21?
Yeah, how are y'all?
Good.
I'm a little flipped out, but otherwise, all right.
I didn't even know what he was saying.
I had no idea.
That's you. No.
But why ain't you got no play, pal?
All right. I like when you go, what's it? Wait, you got to get from the hizzy to the house.
What made me say, you guys did...
We were just riding stuff on marks a lot on dry erase boards and holding them up as fast as we could.
But that way, you gave me like, here's a list of things. Remember that?
Yeah.
A big list. And you go, okay.
Areola Palooza. Jamie?
Yeah.
All right, you're 21. What's the problem?
Well, I actually had a question, I guess, about a statistic. My boyfriend and I were both heroin users, and we're actually engaged. I'm sorry. And we've been going out for 2 years, and we've both quit, I think, within the last 2 months. And he's off in a rehab in Arizona, and I wanted to know statistically what are the chances of us both staying clean. Because I know that there's, like, a big relapse problem with heroin abusers.
Yeah, and this is both of your first attempt at treatment?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they're only 21.
Well, but his first time out, he's going to go for a one-year program? That's great. He has a good chance.
Who goes for a one-year program the first time they kick?
Well, that's what I was asking.
Does he have parents that have money or something?
Yeah, he does, and he's also facing jail time if he doesn't.
All right.
Oh, well, that's the reason.
Now, but he's got a good chance at it if he's motivated and if he really works the program during that year.
He seems motivated.
You, on the other hand, what are you doing?
Well, I'm doing AA or NA meetings every day, and I'm doing Al-Anon. And I'm actually going to be in a rehab for 28 days coming up within the next.
Are you actually sober now?
Yes.
Are you taking anything?
No.
No pot, no nothing?
Nothing.
No medication?
No medication.
All right. And what's motivating you?
Him, basically, because I want him, I want us to be able to work. And the other problem is that he became physically abusive
mm-hmm.
when he started using the opiates. It started out with pills, and then it progressed to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
My other question is, are the chances of him still being physically violent?
No, that's his addiction. I mean, that'll be treated in the course of his year. But I'm more concerned with you, and you've got to stick with the, you know, the fact that this is a good situation, about as good as it gets, Jamie, frankly.
Yeah.
Usually one person gets well, the other doesn't. But the fact that you're getting well for him, prognostic is not so great. He's taking a full year. That's excellent. If you can find it in yourself, the need to get well for you, it'll help the prognosis for both of you, all right?
All right. Okay. We got to take a break, Jamie. Good times, all right, baby?
Thanks.
Yeah. Carrie Kasem here from Beg, Borrow, and Deal 2 on ESPN, all various times. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carrie Kasem is our guest tonight. She's on Beg, Borrow, and Deal, which is on ESPN. And it's on 5 o'clock out here on the west and 8 o'clock in the east. And then it's rerun a bunch of different times on ESPN2. So,
can I plug my website?
Find it. Yeah.
Okay, it's CarrieKasem.com. It's CarrieKasem.com. And it has links to everything, the Beg, Borrow, and Deal radio show I'm doing and another radio show I'm doing. So,
what radio shows you doing?
Racing Rocks. It's a rock and roll countdown, which Ricky Rackman does, and I do all the entertainment reporting, and it's all NASCAR and rock and roll.
Is it on KLSX?
It's not out here. He does a Saturday night show, but it's not. This is a syndicated radio show that we do together.
Oh, so it's but it's not on in L.A.?
No, it's not. No. It just started about 6-7 weeks ago. We have about 35 stations.
What do you do? Do you do all forms of motor racing?
It's all NASCAR, just whatever. You know, it's all NASCAR.
Oh, I hate
everything's
that,
NASCAR.
I can't stand that NASCAR. What's going on with this country that everyone loves NASCAR so much?
I don't know.
You like NASCAR?
You know, I'm getting into it.
Well, don't feel pressured by me.
No, I'm not. I've never gotten into it. I don't know anything about it. So I'm learning. So I'll see. I guess in the next 3-4 months if I actually like it.
It disturbs me that this country is so enamored with NASCAR, which is it's just hold your ears for a second. It's racing for retards, basically. I mean, that's why these guys get loaded. You have to get loaded to watch NASCAR.
Formula One?
Formula One's great, and sports cars are great, and there's all the, you know, all the vintage stuff is really cool. The drag races are really, everything's cool, but NASCAR is really the way I look at it. Although, the accidents are great. And the, you know, sort of swap and paint at 190 miles an hour is interesting. I just hate the cars themselves.
Well, you know, now they're allowing foreign cars to come in. Japanese cars, it's opening up. So.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be different, and they're upset about that.
You know what bothers me? I'll tell you, the cars. The engines are just iron block push rod V8s with carburetors on top of them. It's just world's oldest technology.
And they get 190 miles an hour at them?
Yeah, I mean, they work. Wow. They absolutely work, and they work just like the just like Mustangs work now. But it's just the idea that the technology is so dated. Not in the aerodynamics and all that. It's just those push rod engines bother me. All right, but that's me. Dylan.
Yeah.
You're 16.
Yep.
What's up?
Yeah. I have the lyrics to the song that Dr. Drew wants.
What's that?
The Missy Elliott song.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
Well, do you want him, do you want to write him down so he can, practice? Because that would be so cool if you could, say.
Sing along.
Yeah.
Drew, you want to write him down?
He got the kisser right.
He got the kisser right.
Yep.
All right, let me get Drew a pen.
Is this the one where it goes backwards?
No, it's not backwards. It's all forwards. It's just in, Ebonics and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought she said something forward and then she repeated it backwards.
I thought it was a different, is that a different Missy Elliott song?
What?
Kizer's in there. It's got to be right.
Yeah. It's called Gossip Folk.
Hold on a second.
I think they're sampling.
There is one where there's backwards.
Right.
Speaking.
Yeah. She actually says the line forward and then repeats it backwards.
We were just foolish enough to think that just because this caller had the lyrics to the song we were talking about that she would know what the F we were talking about. We were talking about this and it ended up getting us all confused.
Yeah.
What line is she on? Five.
Hello? The one that goes backwards is Work It.
That's a different song. Yeah, well, just acknowledge that then the first time around, would you?
Sorry.
All right.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead.
It goes, Musi Q's, M-U-S-I.
Are you reading this off the jacket?
No, I'm reading off a piece of paper I pulled off the internet for you.
All right.
How about the website? And I just go print it up. What's the website?
I don't know. I just looked up the lyrics.
All right.
Okay, the first word is Musi, M-U-S-I.
Musi.
Q's.
Q-U-E-S. You can write it phonetically.
I'll figure it out, yeah.
Okay. I sues on Buse. Yep. I-S-E-W-S on B-E-W-S.
It's like,
The next line is, I pews on twos.
You pews on twos.
P-U-E-S on...
He'll write it phonetically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On Cusack. That's the fast part at the beginning that goes like, Musi, Cusack, Susan, Buzak, Puzon, Tuzon, Cusack.
So cute.
Yeah. The next is dialogue, so it's really...
Yeah. So this is like a black Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. The next line is, Puzoo. Like P-U-E, and zoo like animals.
Mm-hmm.
My kisser.
My kisser, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it when you sell it.
Yeah, you have to do it like the music. Like, I've been practicing for you guys so long.
You want to do it along with the song once?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, if you can turn it up, I can hear it.
All right. You ready?
Okay.
All right. This is quite an intro here.
That's a long intro here.
We are the whitest people in America.
Can you freestyle here?
All right, it's coming. All right, Dylan?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Who's that? Who's who? My kizzard. Who's Ziga IZ? It's all kizzard. It's always like, it's all kizzard. It's always like, no sound. Was Z? Was Zoom Zoom Z? Like, I can do it with the radio because I can turn it up really loud, but it's kind of hard to hear it on here.
All right.
But if Dr. Drew practices, he can do it.
Yeah, he's going to practice. All right. I see
new crank kickers coming.
I'm going to give him like a Berlitz tape, like black on cassette.
Okay, how far did I tell you?
Listen to it when he drives home. Huh?
How far did I tell you?
Puzu, my kizzer.
Drew, read what she told you now.
Musi, cues, I sues on buse, I pews on twos on cusate.
Oh my gosh, that was so good.
Yeah. He's good. He's trained operatically.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, maybe this could be like your tape for the like funkiness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You can have him like rapping doing this.
This is gonna be next season on Crank Yankers, everybody. Drew rapping.
And then the little kid goes, Puzu, and then the old guy goes, my kizzer.
Hold on a second. Dylan, I'm gonna have you tell Tara to call me Targon down with the rest of the words. And she'll write them down for me so I can read these things. I can sing along.
Yeah.
And we can have a crank anchors off of it.
But what's it mean?
Kill Whitey. No, I don't know what it means. Dylan, what does it mean?
What does what mean?
What does what mean? What did the kizzard?
My kizzard?
Yeah.
I guess it's like...
All right, you don't know.
Okay, hold on. Okay, get her. Tara.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I feel enriched.
Oh, Drew, this is
a big deal.
See,
it's a big night.
You didn't get this kind of education at Amherst, did you?
Are you kidding? This is the greatest.
James?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes, I am. I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Here he is. Right. He's in the hizzy.
The kisser. Dr. Drew in the hizzy! Right. James, yeah.
Hey, I had sex with my girlfriend, and I... We had sex twice today. First time, it was okay. But the second time, after we were done cuddling, and I was getting ready to go to work, there was blood on the bed and on my penis.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her period like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, some people have bleeding from sex. That's a common thing. Intercourse can stimulate bleeding. Period.
Especially if you've done it twice.
Yeah. Is she on birth control pill?
No.
Any medication?
No.
All right. Those situations make it even more likely, but it's a common thing. Doesn't mean anything.
What are you using for birth control?
Nothing.
All right.
Well, then it does mean something, because she could be pregnant. And any abnormal bleeding in the situation where she could be pregnant should be considered first trimester bleeding, which can be kind of serious.
After 2 weeks?
You can have first trimester bleeding after 2 weeks. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can.
But hey, James?
Yes?
Why aren't you using any birth control?
Because I have, I'm eventually going to try to get her on, but I can't use condoms. I have, every time I've tried to put a condom on, it
condom loader. I was seriously thinking today tomorrow I'm going to work on it.
Drew's working on it. I'm going to condom loader. Yeah.
Think about having a child and having to pay for that child for 18 years and then see what happens to your member.
Listen, our male callers don't plan on 18 years. We're about 18 months and then they're off to Florida. What do you do for a living, James?
I'm a contractor.
Really? What kind of contractor?
I do interior framing, trim, doors, shelves, banisters.
Really?
Yeah.
Finished contractor?
Yes.
You swing doors?
I do the whole inside interior of the house.
Mm-hmm. What kind of bevel you put on the butt side of a door?
The bevel?
Yeah.
The door frames are already put in together.
You pre-swung stuff?
Yes.
You don't hang? You don't do any of your own mortising?
No, the door frames are already cut out, and when the doors come to us, we just stick them in the frame, yeah. Whether it be a right or left side door.
Uh-huh.
Then we shim the side of it.
The jam?
Yes.
You never do any. You don't do any work where you do any mortising and put them hinges in, huh?
No.
All right.
No, the doors come to us.
Yeah,
all,
we got it.
All good.
All right. What do you do on your case, your casing, or let's say your baseboard? You do a 45?
Well,
what do you do in the corners? You do a coping? Use a coping saw?
No, just the regular chop saw.
All right.
The houses we do run roughly like anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 homes.
All right. But all the stuff comes pre-assembled. You put it together.
I wish. They don't... most old houses, each wall is a corner. Well, they have these rounded out. So you got to cut the length of the wall.
Uh-huh.
You got to leave a gap in between there, and you put fillers in on every corner.
You're doing radius work.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Just checking you.
Well, you're going to have a kid here.
You're going to have a kid, screwball.
It can't be.
Why?
Because we started having sex about 2 days ago.
Okay, listen, James, here's what we're saying. You don't like condoms, fine. Get her on the birth control.
But don't have sex till there's protection.
You understand that concept?
Sure.
Screw everything up. Who cares? These guys are like 25. They're like retarded teenagers. It's like she can't be pregnant, mainly because I don't want her to be pregnant. That's a inner
one. He was being specific about the bleeding being from pregnancy.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so what's she need to do with the bleeding?
Probably nothing. It's only been 2 days they've been having sex. It's probably just the usual thing that people get from sex.
Yeah, soreness.
All right. Well,
it's good times, huh?
Yeah. Good times. Once in a blue moon, someone is in a trade, and I try to engage him in a discussion, but they never seem to want to talk about
it. Well, he at least knew something.
He did seem to know something. That guy doesn't mortise his own hinges, though. I can't trace him. He's not going to be a very good dad.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, true.
Can't mortise.
You mortise your own hinges, right?
Yeah, in the hizzy.
Yeah.
I do, too, and I spackle my own walls.
Do you spackle?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Mike?
Yeah, Adam and Drew, you guys are both great, and I got to give Anderson props because he's really good with that button.
Yeah, it's more than one button. That's what makes it tricky.
I wish I had that biatch button. That would be so awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
See, there you go.
But, I got two questions, actually. The first one is, when I was in about fourth grade, I walked in on my parents having sex in my bed.
Nice.
And, wow.
I was wondering if that has anything to do with my kind of tendency for, like, bigger girls. I like, a chunkier girl, not just the average young or, like, skinny girl. Know what I mean?
Yeah, we hear you.
Hold on a second. This got to be bogus.
It doesn't feel bogus, though.
It doesn't feel bogus just because he feels like an idiot, but is your mic on there, Carrie?
Carrie's mic's off.
Oh. Anderson was doing pretty well.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why would him having...
That's my question.
It doesn't make any sense. He sees his parents having sex. Is his mom heavy?
Ooh.
I think that's
the connection.
That's probably
how traumatizing would that be? There's dad. He's got mom right down on that little race car bed. He's plowing her from behind. He pulls out, drops a load right on a Ninja Turtle.
Oh.
You know, because you got those fitted sheets.
Let's hear what he actually saw.
All right. Mike?
Yeah.
How long did you watch for?
Couple days.
They were in my bedroom, and I walked in and opened the door, and then, like, just as soon as I opened the door, my dad jumped up and, like, slammed my door and my arm in the door.
Oh my God.
Still worth it, even if you lost the arm. Still be worth it than to see another 3 seconds of your parents going
and
at
and
it.
How about Carrie's point of view, their question?
Yeah, my mom, she's not, like, exactly skinny. She's a little bigger.
But I'm real fat.
But that, yeah. You may, maybe just your mom being that way already predisposes you to like that, you know?
They say men go after women that remind them of their parents or their mothers.
Are you, Kai? My mom had a wide ass my whole childhood. I can't stand a big ass. Are you kidding?
Or at least you have a reaction to how your parents are. Something that affects you.
Yeah, your mom's got a wide ass. You should go shopping around for a narrow ass. That's how it works. Hey, Mike, that's just your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so my second question is...
I didn't buy the first one.
No, I don't.
Yeah, we don't like this. We don't like your second one either, Mike.
Well, hello?
No.
We got to
go.
All right. You know that first one was bogus. All right. Carrie was right.
Yeah.
In agreeing with me.
Yeah.
Which,
okay.
Which was, he didn't have a question.
Right.
Could this have made me... That's the groundwork for a bad, bogus call when you say, like, I saw this. Could that make me this way?
Maybe he didn't know how to ask the question, though. Don't think he was traumatized watching his parents have sex and he just couldn't say that?
Nah.
Really?
No, plenty of people. You've walked in on that.
Never.
Casey.
Never.
Really?
Never.
You're giving her a problem here, Nana. She's reacting.
But you got to picture it in your mind's eye now, anyway, right?
No, I don't want that.
That's the problem.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, long distance shout out. Yeah.
It's always, by the way, a very complimentary to the parents when the kids are like, oh, no, oh, my God, no.
The other side of that is, and no one wants to see their parents getting it on.
Yeah.
But certainly kids can sort of do the math, especially as they get older. You know, the other side of that is, you know, parents divorced or parents who can't stand each other, that sort of loveless relationship or whatever. I would argue that it's better to see your parents get it on once and know that they have a nice loving relationship.
That's terrible. That's disgusting.
What's that?
You can know they have a nice loving relationship without walking in on them having sex.
The affection. You need verification. Yeah. You need DNA.
if I had a dump button, I'd dump you now for the BS
that's
coming out of your mouth.
Well, she wants her own hole button.
Well,
you guys were separated at birth.
Yeah, I want this hold button for people. All right. Daniel?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just had a question about the average. What, in a 24-hour period, how many orgasms can a male have on average?
Depends what age you're talking about.
18.
Nate Joel could probably have 3 on average.
Yeah.
In a 24-hour period?
3-4, yeah.
You say how many can they have, and then you say on average.
Yeah.
So it kind of screws with things.
Right.
What's the highest,
There's got to be dozens.
A lot.
Yeah. It just depends whose penis and balls you're dealing with.
Right.
Within a 24-hour period?
Yeah, it's got to be dozens and dozens.
Well, not dozens and dozens. Here's all I'm saying. You think about your own personal records. You think about your friends' personal records. And it's in a 24-hour period, and you don't go on a military clock. You're not up 24 hours. You hopefully sleep. You're depleted of fluids and stuff. But let's say everyone's somewhere in the 6-7 range usually seems to be a banner day for most guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We all have buddies who claim 11 or 12, but I don't know anyone who said 28. All right, so go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, I was just wondering that because, like, when I talk to a lot of my friends, like every single one of my friends, like they can't believe that in one 24-hour period from 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. that I went, like, 15 times.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I know you say that, but the girl I was with said that to me, like, oh, that's nothing. I've seen guys do the same thing. And, like, she was totally convinced, and everyone else I talked to was, like, you know, maybe 7 or 8, like you said. And, like, I was just wondering because...
Oh, look, did jizz come out of your penis 15 times?
Every single time. You're not.
All right, then there, you got the record.
Enjoy. Okay, send him the break. Send the windbreaker.
We have the world's dumbest callers to the show. It's like this is like guys saying he ate 25 pieces of pizza in 24 right. hours. Like, can it be done?
Yeah.
What's the average? It's like, I know some hearty eaters. If we got them stoned enough, they could eat a large, you know, if they're watching a ball game or something. Yeah, but I ate 25. Yeah, you did a lot. You done good, son. You did 15.
Yeah, he probably had all of his friends listen and call you guys up and say, look, see, it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be done. And more than 15, I'm sure, has been done. I wouldn't mind knowing what the record was. I don't know if there's any way to verify that. Carrie Kasem is in studio tonight. Beg, borrow, or deal is the name.
And deal.
And deal, yeah. As I looked down and saw the end. And deal is the name of the show, ESPN, Tuesday nights, and ESPN2, whenever, all the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carrie Kasem in studio tonight. Big borrow and deal.
Thank you.
We shouldn't have to call it two, should we? It should just be, it's the second season of
right.
Big borrow and deal.
Sure.
Yeah. I know they have the two sort of prominently displayed there, but it's
the sequels have a way of being successful. That's, I guess, what they're trying to piggyback onto.
It's, right. Yeah, but... The second season of Sex and the City wasn't a sequel. It was just the second season.
I don't know.
That's what ESPN probably wanted.
What?
They just made Big Brown Deal too.
All right. Well, it's on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock on the East Coast, 5 o'clock on the West Coast, and then all different times on ESPN2. Right. Now, where were we? I'm going to talk to Cassandra.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, Adam, I saw you the other day on that Carson Daly bash thing, and you looked really good.
Thanks, baby doll.
And, okay, so my boyfriend and I, we're pretty cool sexually and everything, but, okay, I used to go to Work Project all the time, and so he'd be home during the day, and he'd order porn or whatever, and that's cool because I wasn't there.
Hold on a second. Work Project.
Yeah, Trevor, is that a jail sentence?
That sounds, it sounds like, yeah. Sounds like that...
like half welfare, half working, something like that, too?
Yeah. Sounds like that Job Corps thing, which is really prison for teenagers who haven't killed anyone yet. What is Work community Project? Service. What is it?
Like, it's community service, actually.
Oh.
For voluntarily, or...
No.
No. Okay.
What do you mean? You think Cassandra would do it voluntarily?
What'd you do? What happened?
Drugs.
Oh, my gosh. I've called you guys before about, yeah, I have 2.5 years clean. We were tweakers. We just did a lot of speed, and he stole a bunch of stuff, and I was there, and I didn't really do it because I was just, but I did the drugs that we got for the stuff that he stole. Anyway, that's beside the point. So that's why.
Wow, are you clean now?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty sped up. What do you do for your community service?
I work at it's a equestrian program for at-risk youth.
Uh-huh.
It was totally cool.
Now let me float this idea. I pay a lot in taxes each year. How about I get a couple of you losers swing by the house, get you busy?
You can do that.
Can I do that?
All you have to do is have a nonprofit organization, and any community service can be done at any nonprofit organization.
Here's way the more I'd like to do it. I figure I paid $600,000-$700,000 in taxes last year. Does that buy me a couple of weekends with the kids in the orange vest? You know what I mean?
Just pulling weeds and stuff?
Pulling weeds, making me lemonade. You know, that kind of thing.
You might be missing some stuff when they leave.
No.
Not necessarily
How
you.
Dare you.
But right
no.
now.
I wouldn't want them in my house.
Right now, I'm missing my dignity because I'm paying all this money. I'm getting nothing. Here's all I'm saying. Seriously. You pay this huge wad, right? Just a couple of little servants come by the place every once in a while. I know people think it's a horrible idea. I would be fine with paying hundreds of thousands of dollars just a couple of weekends. Just a little something for the effort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the garbage man, give me the stink eye. All right, Cassandra. Well, I'm going to work this out with your parole officer.
Hey.
No, you come by. We'll hang out.
All right.
So where's your boyfriend then? Oh, he's sitting home watching porn.
Well, when we were, because he was watching our daughter and stuff, and that's why at first I was like, oh, my God. And then he's all, oh, well, she was asleep. And I was like, okay, that's fine, you know, whatever. But then he did it twice recently because I'm all done with that. He did it twice, man, when I was asleep in the bedroom. So when I start talking to my girlfriend or my friend, you know, this girl, and she's like, oh, he's a man, need to let him do that kind of stuff. Just get over yourself. But I'm, like, offended. I'm all, well, why didn't he come up and get me, you know, or why didn't he, you know, like,
hey, Cassandra,
go in there and do stuff with me.
I got a good long-term plan for your guy's kid. I want you to strap him to a weather balloon and just let him go into the atmosphere with a couple of those cheese snacks taped to his belly. Because that would be better than having you two screwballs raise this kid. The craziness going on in the house. Huh?
We're doing really good. We were really screwed up, but we're doing so good.
All right, and he's clean?
Oh, yeah. He has more clean time than I do because... You know, he was in jail for a while, and I was still out screwing up.
Okay. And you only have one kid?
Yeah, he won't let me have any more.
Well,
yeah.
If you're doing really, really, really well, then I suggest just leave the porn thing alone.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
well,
it.
There's nothing wrong with every once in a while enjoying some pornography.
No, there isn't. But we're just kind of worried that this guy may have replaced his drug with the pornography. And why is he?
He doesn't watch it that much. I try to get him to watch it more, but we used to be so into it, you know, and now it's...
Oh, okay.
See, her thing is he watching it alone because of her problem.
Oh, I'm silly me. I thought it had to do with watching in front of the daughter.
Yeah.
No. Is
without me.
Without you, right. What does he do that he's home while you're out helping the needy because the state made you?
Watching her.
He's just stay-at-home dad. Yeah. Stay-at-home dad. True. How dare you with the mom? So he stays home while you don't bring home the bacon?
I'm a child care provider. I watch kids.
Bring home the bacos, like you said.
Right. Okay, so is he looking to get a job or anything?
No, he has a job.
He has a job.
Yeah.
Well, Adam asked what he does.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's in a swimming pool excavation.
Oh, the swimming pool work. See, now this is the kind of labor I could use. We'll get him into that program.
He runs heavy machinery.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what are you guys using for birth control?
You know, I knew you were going to say that because I was listening earlier. We use film. You know what that is?
Film.
It's cool. Yeah, it's a vaginal contraceptive film. It's like this little square. It's kind of clear, and you fold it.
Fuji makes it. You get double print if you have a kit.
You better use something a little stronger than the film, okay?
Why? What? How's that film work?
It's just another contraceptive. I mean, it's another sort of dissolves in the vagina kind of thing.
Why would you use that? I mean,
people use suppositories and all kinds of stuff, but they're supposed to be used with a condom.
Condom. I know Cassandra's due to pop out on a kid any minute now. Just no more kids, you understand? He's got to wear a condom. You get on birth control?
I have an appointment next Monday.
All right, good. Watch the sex before then. You guys are in a high-risk category.
Look, him watching porn by himself is not a big deal.
No, that's fine.
You can let him do that?
Yeah, I do, but I just wish that, you know, I could be there because I think it's, you know, I think it's fun.
Men need
diversity.
Cassandra, let me give you a tip here. You're doing great. You sound like you got a lot of energy.
Yeah, I'm manic depressive.
Yeah. All right,
well, here...
your mania is... You're getting to sort of manic phase right
here,
now.
Here's the whole thing. Guys are like... they're like animals in a certain sense. They're like a cat who needs to go off, sit on top of the sofa, and sleep. A cat don't want to sleep on your belly every night. It just can't. It's not in our blood. We need a little of our own space, even if it's in your space. Do you see what I'm saying? And women, there's a jag I want to go on. Women don't realize that they sort of cut their own throats sometimes by trying to take away what last vestige of autonomy a guy has, even if they're cohabitating, and that will screw a guy up. Guy needs to go into the bathroom with a sports page, plant himself down on the toilet, and sit there for a half hour, unmolested sometimes. Guy needs to go up on his computer and just look at nothing, or maybe porn, or maybe those retarded fantasy baseball rotisserie things. Man needs his own space. And it's not, I don't know what you have to say about this, Drew, but it's a little unnatural for us to shack up in general, just from a... from a pure biological standpoint.
Evolutionary biology, yeah.
But we can do it, but what we then want is our own little space within the shack up sometimes. Mm-hmm. We want to go to our office, shut the door, turn on the porn or whatever. Women,
it's more like our own time.
We want our own time.
Women need that, too.
Women need, they claim they need that, but they don't need it. They want it. We need it.
No,
that's different.
They get lots of it, but for them, it's to go have, you know, sit in a spa and have people massage them and things like that. that is work for a male.
Guy needs to go out to the garage and be left alone to wrench around on his car or do whatever for a couple hours a week. When women then try to invade the last little space that the guy has left, it's not dangerous. Mm. He's not going anywhere. He's living. He's inside the house, paying the bills and everything. They try to take that last piece away. Guy goes AWOL and busts out and starts having an affair or moves out or something like
that.
I agree with that. Let them have their last
space. It's a space to roam.
That's totally
it's a
true.
A roaming space.
Yeah, it's space to roam like a condo yard.
Yeah.
Like a fence is 2 feet high and it's 18 feet by 14 feet. Let him have that little area and think it's his own.
The problem with women is they think that they should share everything. If the guy really loves them, then they'd share everything with them. And that destroys a relationship.
And or they get sort of worried that roaming is going to lead to something. Right. Or, you know, right.
But many women don't understand when they put the clamp down on that, when they don't let the guy go to Vegas once a year with his buddies for a day and a half, then it's all ruined because eventually he can't take it.
Right.
Thank you. Stephanie?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to say, Dr. Drew, I love you.
Stephanie.
I wanted to know if I'm still considered a virgin after I had a painful experience the other day using a vibrator for the very first time.
No.
Yes. Yes. virginity, we officially define, shall we be the official
You're a virgin.
We officially define virginity as a penis crossing the plane of the vagina.
Or anus.
Okay. Or, they want, should we say anus too?
Oh, if it's in, yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, but other things entering there does not qualify. And however you rupture your hymen has nothing to do with whether or not you're a virgin.
Okay, because I didn't bleed, but I just, it was painful though.
All right. Yeah. Well, it was... Hold on. Who was using the vibrator? You?
Yeah.
Would you fall down or something?
Big wind kick up? I mean,
no,
what happened?
That's
you.
First time, so.
But you didn't know what your pain threshold was?
What happened?
I just stuck it in too far, I guess.
All right.
I mean, I just kept sticking in, thinking that, I mean, it would feel better after a while, and it was just a little pain, but, I mean, after a while, it really hurt, and... After I took it out for, like, a day, it hurt really bad.
Oh.
I overdid it.
Did you put anything on the vibrator to make it, like,
Yeah. I put KY jelly on it.
Wow. Hold on a second. You know, I think what we're dealing with here is not a religious chick. I think we're dealing with a big gal. I'm playing a hunch here.
Okay.
Stephanie?
Uh-huh.
You a big gal?
No.
No?
No.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
6 foot. How much do you weigh?
I weigh like 190.
Okay.
Mine is like chunky.
That's not a big girl.
Welcome to Loveline.
That's a good size. That's good junior college outside linebacker size. I mean, you gotta have wheels at that size. You gotta have to run at least a 4.6, 4.7, 40. But if you got wheels, you can play at some junior college outside linebacker. Yeah, if you're mobile. Yeah, head on a swivel. All right, well, I was totally wrong about the big gal thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, 6 foot 190 on the radio, that could mean 6'1", 208. That's a solid cruiserweight right there. I wonder how she would define a big girl. Like, this, like out of a movie? Like you know, gargantuan women, like, Stephanie. 6 foot, 190, and in the Corolla handbook goes down as a big gal.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm officially a big gal. Okay.
Yeah, I don't mean there's anything wrong with that. I'm just.
How'd you get that from the vibrator thing? That astonishes me.
Believe me.
No.
Yeah, you talk to enough people. I'm like a cop.
I know. Have a visual.
I can shake a perp down in just a few seconds.
That was unbelievable.
It's not that tough to do the math on.
It's not written on the monitor, fat chick. No. I mean, what?
Oh, fat. How dare you? I said big gal.
I just don't know how you got that.
Voluptuous. Nothing wrong with that. So Stephanie, are you waiting around for the right guy?
Yeah. I mean, I've tried, but...
Who are you waiting for? Like the brawny guy who leans down and pulls the roof off the diner? Hello, Sal.
I tried to have
Paul
sex,
Bunyan.
Actually.
Yeah. What happened?
And the guy was too nervous. So.
Ooh. Yeah. Thought you were going to kick his ass.
Bad times.
Yeah, we tried 3 times.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, so I resorted to the vibrator.
All right.
That's safer anyway.
What's going on? You in high school?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the plan?
Yeah, what's the plan?
What's the plan what?
From high school.
I'm a senior now, so.
You're a senior now.
Junior college.
Yeah.
Big gal on campus. All right, so you graduate, you go off to college somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. You plenty of nice guys at college. All right,
yeah,
so
I hope.
Yeah, there will be. So listen, you have a good time your senior year.
Yeah.
What the hell is? What month is it? Shouldn't you be? You're 18. What, they hold you back at grade?
Yeah, I started late. My mom held me back in kindergarten, so yeah, I know.
All right, that's good.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, that's kindergarten. She was only 5'6", 155.
Not big. Not big.
No, listen, Stephanie. All God's creatures are beautiful. You find a nice guy in college. But in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
Go enjoy yourself with that vibrator. All right, just take it easy.
Okay.
It's not a contest. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
I love that stuff.
I still don't get how you got that.
I mean, 2.5 carries smushed together is one.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Care. What are you coming in at? 105 pounds or something?
No, you know, I usually weigh about 108, and I started working out, and now I weigh 114.
You put on a little muscle.
How
tall are you?
5'5".
That's solid size. All right. She'd probably use you like a vibrator.
I'd probably fit.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Carrie Kasem in here tonight. She's from Big Borrow and Deal. Two Tuesday nights on ESPN. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Carrie Kasem is our guest tonight. Big Borrow and Deal is the name of her show. ESPN, all different times. ESPN2, all different times. But 5 o'clock on the West Coast and 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Dr. Drew's here, of course. And tomorrow night, Brooke Burns is going to be in here from Dog Eat Dog, the big foxy blonde. And then the other foxy chick, Brooke Burke, will be in here from Ion, Eon,
Wild On.
Yeah, the Thongback Network. I swear to Christ, it used to drive me nuts because, like, in our first couple of seasons of The Man Show, Comedy Central is like, no thong back ass. You can show 3/4 crack, but you can't, like, show full crack. And no one knew what to do with the ass and the ass crack and the thong back. This is about 3-4 years ago, you know? And I used to say, hey, whenever I turn it on E, that's all they're doing. They're going down to Rio for Carnival, and it's just a bunch of people in thong backs. But they would present it like it was a hard-hitting news expose. And somehow they got away with it. Now, if we show thong ass for comedy, oh, no, no. No, you can't.
You can get away with so many things when it's considered a documentary.
Or even when it's considered drama.
Right.
Like Dennis Franz can show his ass all he wants. It's like, how come? Because they're doing a serious... Art. What? It's a stupid show. They write the script. The guy memorizes it, and they film it. What do you think you're doing? What is this? You think you're actually following cops around, you idiots? They're on a soundstage. Well, I don't understand why comedy does not have more leeway than drama, but it just doesn't.
Yeah.
You just you just can't screw around with certain things. And we could never show ass, or we could never show thong ass. And all E was thong ass. And somehow got away with it. No one ever said anything about it. Just pure thong. They just got to change the name of the network to the T network. What is it? E-Chow? T. Thong. Please call a spade a spade. Amanda?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, a couple days ago I had sex, and I mean, he started to go like pretty hard, which was okay. I don't have any problem with that. But then
sure.
He like slipped out, and he like punctured me really hard in the anal hole.
Well, that must have hurt.
Let's recap.
Yeah.
Punctured me
real hard
in the anal hole.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, Veronica.
Put that on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Wait, that's not Veronica.
Amanda.
Amanda.
Hold on, Veronica.
I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna go on a limb here. I'm gonna say you're an English lit major. Yes.
No.
Language.
No.
Languages.
Languages.
No.
Linguistics. No.
Public speaking.
All right, forget. Oh. No, we're all out. All right, so I punctured you hard in the anal hole.
Yeah, and I'm still like bleeding.
You're still bleeding.
Whatever, but
oh man.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know.
Terrible.
It's forgive us. It's
how,
it's
how long
comical,
have you been bleeding though. For?
Huh?
How long have you been bleeding for?
Well, it happened Saturday night, and I'm still bleeding.
Okay. And, like constantly, you have to wear a pad, or just when you go to have a bowel movement? Or?
No, I mean, like, it's just, like, kind of, like, there, you know? I mean, it's not, like, flowing out or anything. It's just, like, whenever, like, I pee or something, it comes out, like, a little bit.
When you pee, so you bear it down.
Is it a vaginal thing, or is it the anal hole thing?
No, it's the anal hole.
Have you ever had hemorrhoids in the past?
What?
Have you ever had hemorrhoids?
No.
Have you heard of hemorrhoids?
Yeah.
All right.
Why
confused by that.
Yeah. I just have never had it.
All You've right. never had hemorrhoids?
So just say no.
Okay. Well, you may now. That may be what this is. Okay. Or a tear or a fissure. I mean, he's injured you there.
What position were you in? Just so I know not to get in that. For my own stuff. Yeah.
I was just, like, on my back, and he was just, like, kind of, like, on top.
Wow.
Like, kind of.
Yeah.
That actually happened to my girlfriend. I heard her scream. We were living in in an apartment together, and she's in the other room having sex, and I heard this blood-curdling scream, and then just wails, just crying, and I actually ran in there, and they're both sitting there naked. What's wrong? I thought maybe he had hit her or something. I didn't know, and she explained it to me, and she was pretty sore for about a week, maybe week and a half.
It's tough on the guy, too, when he has to ask for the hand job to, you know, finish it off. Like, sorry, baby, stop crying, but I got to finish.
You should ask the friend.
Yeah.
Walked in after all. Amanda, the other thing is this does need to be checked out. I'm afraid you have to see a doctor who has to look and see what the nature of the injury is. It's just you have to. This is persistent bleeding. Got to figure out why. It's probably a hemorrhoid or a tear, but it's something that sometimes these things need repairs. So.
All right. Hey, and listen, here's the whole thing. Like, when you're a 17, 18-year-old guy, you got plenty of stamina and speed. Your aim is a little bad. You know what I mean? You're like some rookie pitcher who comes up and he's got 99 mile an hour fastball, but his location isn't good.
Overthrows the catcher.
As you get older, you lose a little of the speed, you lose a little of the strength. You lose that, but you learn placement.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Start getting a little movement on the ball.
Yeah,
that's me.
Yeah,
I'm
Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, I like that. Put a little Vaseline under the balls. I do that. I'm like Charlie Huff. I'll throw that crazy knuckleball. You see the threads on the thing just coming by 10 miles an hour. Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Don? Don's 20. Hey, it said he's a gay guy. He's into chubby chase. He's a chubby chaser. I want to talk to him. All right, but he's not there.
Hello.
There he is.
All right. You're a gay guy. You like the big guys, right?
Right. I talked to you guys before a little while ago, and you guys kind of left me hanging. I wasn't really knowing my question. You guys pretty much, like, told me what you told the other guy that was a chubby chaser but straight. You said, oh, well, that's your preference. And
yeah, whatever.
But I wasn't done with my question, and what I really wanted to say is pretty much to Dr. Drew, I wanted to know if you get a lot of calls about that. My brother's also gay, too. I guess it's more like
a gay question, not really a chubby chaser question. I wanted to know if there's any history of, like, gay people, like, if their dads have been alcoholics or anything like that.
Right. Well, why didn't you ask that question the first time, you jackass, if you want us to answer it?
Because I wanted to know if it related with chubby chasers, I guess.
All right. But listen, don't call us and accuse us of not answering your question when you asked a different question.
No, I've not seen any pattern like that. I've not noticed anything. It may have something to do with it. It may have something to do with you.
Why would his brother be gay and he be gay? A domineering mom? Your mom a ball buster?
He said his dad was an alcoholic.
I know, yeah. But I'm not interested in that. Is your mom a ball buster?
No, she's not. She's actually very liberal with us. She was as we were growing up.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
No, I was not.
Well, and then you're gay. And I don't know if it runs in the family. Is there
genetically?
Yeah. How's that work?
They're trying to determine whether there is such a thing, but no, it's not been documented per se yet. There's certainly a genetic element in it, but how it's transmitted is not that well worked out.
It's good that your brother is, though. Kind of takes the pressure off, right?
Well, not really, because it's just us two, and, like, I'm kind of disappointed because, you know, I wanted to be an uncle and all that, just the same with my mom. I'm sure she wanted to be a grandmother, but...
You can adopt kids and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's getting more liberal nowadays. And
yeah. People do it all the time. You just do that.
Well, I guess that was my question, but I still want to know if, you know, if it has anything to do with alcoholism, if you guys have heard of anything like that.
No. The answer is no.
Okay.
I've not heard of anything like that.
Good times.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Once again, where's the correlation? I don't understand.
What's he trying to come
with? With the chubby chaser and alcoholism.
He just was wondering if there's anything we've heard, any pattern. So.
I'll tell you, if I turned gay and I had a brother, I would make him go gay, too.
You just force him?
Yeah, I'd be like, go tell dad you're gay.
So you can have sex with him?
No.
How dare you?
Reduce the stress from the parents.
Yeah, they go tell him you're gay. Then you go tell me gay, and then I come in and go, yeah, you know Sean? Yeah, I'm gay like him. Anyway, we're both gay, but it's cool. Right? Be a lot easier than you just being the gay one, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to work on that. Carrie Kasem in tonight. Take a quick break. Be right back.
Music, Jesus,
it's working on it. It's going pretty good, though. Did Tara Don Comitara, goddammit, transcribe that for you?
Yeah.
Look at that, all typed up.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good.
Gotta do with oomph, though, dude. Next
I'm just practicing that, learning.
He's breaking his black chops in. He'll be ready. Soon, my friend. I want to thank Carrie Kasem for coming in here tonight.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.
Yes, it was a delightful show tonight. Big borrow and deal, everybody.
Tuesdays, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Loves the crank yankers.
That's right. God bless her. She can't be all bad. She loves them crank yankers. And Brooke Burns in here tomorrow night from Dog Eat Dog. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahala. What do they make the clitoris out of? Like a Mike and Ike? That kind of gay is for suckers. Now you got to blow a guy and raise the kids.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.